And you are listening to the hymn selected for the third Sunday after Pentecost, O God, O Lord of Heaven and Earth. And we're going to be talking about that. You are listening to Law and Gospel on this June the 9th in the year of our Lord, 2015. And I'm Pastor Tom Baker, and we're going to introduce our good friend with us in a moment. But first of all, I want to give two housekeeping duties. Number one, I am teaching a Bible study at Emmanuel Lutheran Church at 11 a.m., and that's for anybody. You don't have to be a member of Emmanuel. And then in the evening at 8 p.m., we are continuing during the summer with the Young Adults Bible class. You can be single or married, college age, or, you know, even above that. And we're at 8 o'clock, again, at 9733 Olive Boulevard. With us in the studio right now, we have our good friend, the Reverend Mark Smith. Hi, Mark.
Hey, Tom. How you doing today?
Well, I didn't realize the cement was still wet and started sinking in it.
So you've left your mark on Synod.
Yes, right? Yes. And my size 18 shoe, I think, is just, well, that's what it looks like. Huh? No, they're pouring the cement for the new sidewalk today.
And at your weight, it probably sank 4 or 5 inches in.
Yeah, there were three people had a, luckily they had a hoist.
Boy. Yeah, I'll tell you, it'd be nice when it's done out here. They're working on the entryway, of course.
Yes, yes. All the trees are gone that they had up, and I understand they're going to put more plantings in and such like that.
But what's amazing is you can't hear a thing in here in the studio with the thick glass. And can't hear any work going on out there, at least not now.
Where were you the last 3 weeks? You know, they had those, what are they called?
The jackhammers.
The jackhammers. I heard it on every program. In fact, one of them.
That was your stomach rumbling.
No. The program wasn't, it had been taped ahead of time because they weren't even doing the jackhammers during the program time. But when they taped it, they were doing it. And so you kept hearing it, but I don't know if they're going to also jackhammer the rest all the way to the bottom, because big trucks are on it, and it's cracking the cement and this kind of thing. So,
well, it'll sure be nice when it's done.
Yes, yes, although I'm going to miss the pool.
You know, when I came here 33 years ago, they were working on this facility. Isn't it? It's amazing how time has flown. This facility's already more than 30 years old.
I know, yeah.
Can't believe it.
I can remember when they decided where they were going to put it, right, and this sort of thing.
They were thinking about putting it out at Concordia Seminary.
Oh, yes, but Clayton wouldn't allow them. By the way, we're talking. No, that's true. Yeah, they wouldn't allow it. The neighbors got all riled up The traffic would have been something.
Yeah, it would have been.
So, fortunately, we just put it right beside a Roman Catholic school. Okay. Yeah, we share parking lots and things like that, but there's good food around here. A White Castle across the street. You can't beat that. You cannot beat that. Okay, we're talking about the International Center of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. Address is 1333 South Kirkwood. It's right near Highway 44. In fact, we have buildings on both sides of Highway 44. I preached at the Church Extension building this morning, and then I'm preaching right after this program. So we are going to let you hear the whole hymn. We're going to get off a little earlier here.
It's a great hymn.
So we better get to it. Would you please read the first stanza?
Okay. This is a hymn by Martin Franzmann, of course. O God, O Lord of heaven and earth, thy living finger never wrote that life should be an aimless mote, a deathward drift from futile birth. Thy word meant life, triumphant hurled in splendor through thy broken world. Since light awoke and life began, thou hast desired thy life for man. Terrific words.
You know, I visit a lot of churches. Every weekend I'm going somewhere. And there's something here. It says, you know, thy living finger never wrote that life should be an aimless mote. Now, how would you explain that to a child?
Well, it was never God's intention that we would fall into sin and that we would be...
Well, what's a
headed,
mote?
A mote, of course, is a trench,
yes,
usually dug around a castle.
Right.
It's, you know, it's like a deep trench.
So that has an aim and a purpose to keep enemy away.
Right.
You know, sometimes they would fill it with water and at times even oil and burn the soldiers. But why do many people think that life for them is an aimless moat?
Because there's no, they feel like there's no purpose.
Very good.
You know, there's no...
For their life.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
It's purposeless, meaningless.
Yes. The article of, the doctrinal article that best helps that problem is our doctrine of vocation. Because in vocation, what we're talking about is from the Latin vocare, to call. God calls each of us into a different part of life. I wear about 8 hats. How many do you wear?
Oh, boy. Let me count. I don't know, you know.
Well, name father, some of them.
Father, okay, husband,
father, husband,
pastor.
Pastor. You're not a son?
Citizen. Citizen of this
citizen,
state.
Son.
Of the nation. And a son, sure.
Sure.
Right. Son, brother.
Neighbor.
Neighbor, right.
Yeah, congregational member. The reason those are important to keep in mind is you have different authority under each one. For example, when I was a pastor at a church and I would see some kids running on top of the pews up and down, I would handle them differently if they were my children rather than somebody else's children. I don't have the authority to say to somebody else's children, okay, no TV for you tonight. So having those responsibilities and that different authority, that is your purpose in life. Like, I kind of find it interesting. We're watching them outside put down cement. Guess who's standing there watching them? Are officials or folks who are part of our custodial staff here in the Synod watching that they do it right.
Right. They're part of the organization that watches the physical plant.
Yes. We had a wonderful gentleman. His name was Robert Brooks. He was a bus driver. When we built the educational wing onto our church, every day after his bus ride, he would come over and check out what everybody was doing. And he found that we were going to be short around $30,000 one year in our budget. And he came and he found the electrician had put in the electric wrong.
Oh, boy.
And so it took him 3 months to correct it. And guess what we didn't have to pay during that time? $30,000.
Wow.
So we made our budget. And we had enough the next year to pay him off. But that was his vocation. He was a bus driver. And then he would come over and kind of watch the church. It was really good to see that. He's died. I just found that out recently.
Oh, was that right?
Yeah, unfortunately. But, and so this is the law that when people look at their life, they think they have an aimless moat, that they're living in it. They don't have a lot of purpose in life.
I would think most Christians understand, although, you know, even Christians sometimes sink into that kind of...
They commit suicide.
Yeah, right, sure.
Yeah, no doubt about it.
We have to remind ourselves that our life does have purpose. It does have aim.
I'm going to talk a lot about this tomorrow because in my promo, I've already mentioned every time I go to a congregation, people keep complaining about how the world seems to be falling apart,
especially
this country. Well, I have the reason why it's happening and why it didn't happen 30 years ago. And
don't you think Israel, Old Testament Israel, felt that way, you know, in the days of the judges and even when Jerusalem fell to Nebuchadnezzar, they felt like the world was falling apart.
Yes, yes,
and yet God, for their, you know, God in his infinite wisdom was taking them into captivity so that they wouldn't implode as a people.
Yes. Let me read stanza 2. Our fatal will to equal thee, our rebel will wrought death and night. We seized and used in pride.
Prideful.
Yes, in prideful spite, thy wondrous gift of liberty. We housed us in this house of doom where death had royal scope and room until thy servant, Prince of Peace, breached all its walls. For our release. You know, this really sounds like Franzmann.
Doesn't that sound like Franzmann? I'll tell you.
He was a professor we had at the seminary.
Who could come up with words like that, you know?
Yes. No, he was an expert in poetic form. And I always remember that just reading his items. In fact, he did a commentary on the New Testament. Rares did the Old Testament. And it has so many good insights. I had a course with him on one book of the Bible. I'm not sure which
Romans.
One.
Romans was his. Yeah, he wrote a commentary in Romans.
We only got through chapter 4 in 10 weeks.
I never had him as a professor. You actually
Oh,
had him
my, yes. He was a good friend of mine, yeah. Yeah, because he had been over at Westfield House.
Westfield House in
England.
Cambridge.
And the reason we're mentioning that is those of you who aren't members of the Missouri Synod couldn't care less, I guess. But what we're trying to say is we have professors who really have insight into theology, and they're able to put it. That's why I always call myself a super plagiarist, because I love borrowing what these guys have. But, well, what does this mean, our fatal will to equal thee?
Yeah, well... That was the temptation that met Eve.
Exactly.
The serpent beguiled her and said, "You know, you want to be like God. God doesn't want you to be like Him."
Yeah.
And so that was our fatal will to try to be equal to Him.
Always a lie,
right?
Because
the devil's a lie.
You will know good and evil.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Not the way God knows good
right.
and evil. He knows it in His mind. But they actually experienced being the evil. And so our rebel will wrought death and night.
Yes.
Now, death, of course, eternal death
right.
it's talking about. And remember, Jesus is the light of the world.
Right.
And so those who don't know Him are in night.
That's right.
In darkness.
And yet, that darkness didn't overcome Him.
No. Go ahead.
Well, those words, we seized and used in pride, in prideful spite, the wondrous gift of liberty that God had given us. But look at these words. We housed ourselves in this house of doom.
Yes.
Where death had royal scope and room. In other words, death reigned.
Yes.
You know, in this sin-darkened world.
And there was plenty of room
right.
for all the unbelievers.
Yeah, sure. Until, of course, thy servant... Prince of Peace, our Lord Jesus.
Now, a lot of kids...
all the walls for our release.
A lot of kids won't understand what the word breach means.
Broke through.
Yeah, yeah. Either climbed over, broke through, or this kind of thing.
Yeah, this is a hymn that will take some explaining to the kids, I think.
Just yes, because that's why we go over
it. The terminology is so lofty and...
Well, you know, you need to breach the walls because we have set up...
A prison.
No. The prideful spite. I'm sorry. The aimless moat.
Right.
You see?
We've housed ourselves in this prison of sin and death.
Exactly. And we don't know it.
Yeah. Those walls had to be breached by Christ.
Okay. That means we need to go to the next stanza, if you would read that.
Thou camest to our hall of death, O Christ, to breathe our poisoned air. To drink for us the dark despair that strangled our reluctant breath. How beautiful the feet that trod the road that leads us back to God. How beautiful the feet that ran to bring the great good news to man. What a beautiful verse.
The imagery is so good.
Yes.
Because he comes to our hall of death. What's that?
Well, it's like what he's talking a little bit more about what this... house of doom that we've created for ourselves.
Yes. And the hall of death would be our life, our environment. A lot of people would think, I'm going to talk about this tomorrow, that the United States is becoming a hall of death.
Yes. Yes, it is.
Because
with abortion and...
Gay marriage.
Gay marriage, sure.
These kinds of things. But what did Jesus do? He came, and I like this, to breathe our poisoned air.
Yeah. Isn't that an interesting way of saying it?
What verse do you think he had in mind?
He came to breathe our poison air.
Okay, what makes us poison?
Sin.
Yes. Guess what Jesus became?
He took on our sin
That's
upon
right.
himself.
More than that. He became sin.
He became, the epitome of sin.
Yes. This is really important to understand that... And it's found in the Bible where Paul says Jesus Christ became sin for us that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. Neither one of them is reality.
No.
In the sense that Jesus really never sinned.
Right, Right.
And we never are totally righteous in our works.
That's right.
Yes.
Yes. We're pronounced righteous.
Yes, we're pronounced. And he's pronounced sin.
Right.
Yes. But because he's pronounced sin, therefore he is sin. Mm-hmm. He's the greatest sinner in the world.
Mm-hmm. For us.
Yes. A lot of people don't, you know, when you say...
When you say that, people kind of cringe.
Just ask the question. Who's the greatest sinner in the world in the Bible, do you think? And they'll say, Jonah or somebody like that. Or most people will say Judas.
Or Hitler or someone like that.
Well, he's not in the Bible.
Yeah, right.
But, yeah, I was just watching the Hitler thing last night. He had like 60 guards around him at all times. They were three different groups. It was really fascinating to watch that.
Well, they tried to assassinate him themselves a number of times.
Yeah, well, twice. Yeah. It was when he was able to, and he said it was just by chance, you know, so much for God. But be that as it may, we, with this kind of language, and I think you have to explain it, to drink for us the dark despair. What's that?
Well, he suffered the very pangs of hell in our place as he hung on that cross.
What were the words he used that we know he did that?
My God, very why hast good. Thou forsaken me?
Yeah. And that's the despair when we think God has forsaken us. And I'll tell you why we think that. Because we look at our environment.
Right.
We don't look to the Word of God. We look to our experience.
Right.
See, that's the theologian of self-glory.
Yeah. We should look to the promises of Christ.
The promises, which have no evidence.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, it doesn't feel like Jesus is around me. In my sermon today, I'm going to start with a question. Nobody will get right again, but I'm not going to say it in case some people are listening. But it's going to be, again, on the basis that they're using their experience rather than thinking about how God thinks. But be that as it may, another point I want to meet, how beautiful the feet that trod the road that leads us back to God.
That's right out of the Psalms? How beautiful are the feet of them that carry the gospel?
Yes. I was going to ask you, who are the feet belonging to?
Jesus.
And
also
the
his
messengers.
Disciples.
Yeah.
Right.
And his angels.
Right.
Yesterday on Issues, Etc., I did the Sunday school lesson about the creation of the angels and how they helped. For example, the one text we looked at where the angel released Peter from prison.
Yes.
The chains just dropped off. The doors opened by themselves.
He thought it was a dream.
He thought he was in a vision until the angel
stepped out on the street.
Yeah, led him down a road. And then he came to himself, it said.
Yeah.
And he said that he realized that God had done that. But he was still careful. When he went into the house of the Christians, they were almost yelling and screaming. He said, quiet, quiet. And then he went to another place so they couldn't find him. So even though God miraculously takes care of us, that doesn't mean that...
we should still be careful.
Absolutely. It means we should still be careful.
Right.
And I'll read the last stanza. O Spirit, who didst once restore thy church that it might be again the bringer of good news to men, breathe on thy cloven church once more that in these gray and latter days there may be those whose life is praise, each life a high doxology to Father, Son, and unto thee. Now, the one word I
don't... Cloven.
Yes, breathe on thy cloven church. What's cloven?
Divided. It comes from the word cleave.
Yes.
Divided. And yet Christ is not divided.
You know, no.
Paul asked that question, is Christ divided? And yet the church, there are divisions.
Well, not only that, but remember what follows there, that in those gray and latter days.
Right.
In other words, we're cloven with the disasters of the world,
good point.
Immorality that's going on,
right.
And that Jesus comes so that there may be those whose life is praise, each life a high doxology. Now, that's just another way of what is the purpose of our life is to give praise.
To give praise to God.
Exactly. Yeah. That's really
Father,
important.
Son,
Holy
and,
Spirit.
Isn't it interesting? To Father, Son, and unto thee, because the whole verse is addressed to the Holy Spirit.
The Spirit.
Yeah.
In fact, I would say that the first verse is addressed to the Father. Is it not?
Yes.
O God, O Lord of heaven and earth.
Right.
And then both the next two are about Jesus Christ and then the Holy Spirit. So notice that there's a triangle in front of number four. What does that mean?
That means you stand for the final verse.
Exactly.
It's a doxological verse.
Okay.
Well, that's a great hymn, isn't it? I'll tell you, Franzman really.
You going to use it?
Sunday? You know, I think we probably will.
Yeah.
Because we've already sung the other one that was
Tell us when your services are.
9 o'clock Sunday morning at Prince of Peace Lutheran Church, New Sappington Road, just south of the Watson and New Sappington intersection. And if you can't make Sunday, we have 5 o'clock Saturday evening service. We'd love to have you at Prince of Peace. We're a loving, friendly congregation.
Okay. Thank you very much, Pastor Mark Smith. And God willing, he'll be back with us next week. We're going to let you hear this hymn now because I'm on my way to do preaching here. And if you want to be at my Bible study, 11 o'clock, Emmanuel Lutheran Church, or tonight at 8 o'clock. I'm Tom Baker and Mark Smith. God bless.